Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Center of Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Drive Time Superstore, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board. The juggler, Jim Cushlin, is back at the studios tonight, I'm sure, putting some sporting event on some particular station on some particular day. That's why we are Toledo Sports Leader. Glad to have you on board. 5:15 tonight, Matt Melzack will join us from Fifth Third Field. Hens home tonight against Syracuse. You know, it's kind of funny. I was looking at the box scores today, and all of a sudden I had to stop, and I ended up reading John Wagner's story in the Blade. And boy, Toledo was the visiting team in the second game. Obviously, Toledo not going back into Syracuse the rest of the year. So the Hens, who split last night, they pick up a 4-2 win. They lose their home game / road game 4-2 in the game number two. But that time of the year, we're really MILB. The website has the box scores in every morning, looking at some of the prospects in the Detroit Tigers organization for our Reeb Funeral Home report. Of course, we'll do that through September. A little disappointed tonight. I mean, really no reason to be watching the Detroit Tigers at this point in time, but I wanted to take a look at Jamer Candelario. He is not in the Detroit Tigers lineup tonight. Castellanos will play third, batting second tonight. The only other big change, of course, Jimmy Adusi will be in right field in that number two hole. So, again, the Tigers tonight in Pittsburgh and home against the Pirates for games Wednesday and Thursday. I watched a little Golf Channel today. Took a good look at Quail Hollow. By the way, the what a great-looking golf course with a lot of history. They've been playing golf there for years. Went in and threw about $25 million at it, tore the thing up, and in 89 days they were playing golf for the membership. It looks great. Players were absolutely raving on it. That gets underway Thursday, the final major of the year. The favorite? Rory McIlroy. When you go to Las Vegas and look at the websites for the odds makers, of course, Jordan Spieth trying to already become the youngest player to get that career grand slam. He needs a victory in Charlotte this week as well. Lions, by the way, at Indianapolis on Sunday. One of those games really, you're going to see a lot of guys that will not be with the team, you know, come opening day for the Detroit Lions. We'll have that game here Sunday, by the way, right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Other things going on. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. And you think about this wild card situation in baseball. Really, it's kind of a bizarre time of the year. You're waiting for college football and the NFL to get cranked up. Baseball, you're really just kind of watching to see who's in and who's out. But there's a lot of big games tonight in Major League Baseball because of the wild card. If they did not have a wild card situation in Major League Baseball, none of these games would mean anything. But the Yankees tonight at Toronto, Yankees still battling for a wild card. Boston, Tampa Bay. Boston leads the East. Tampa Bay battling for a wild card. Colorado taking on the Cleveland Indians. Cleveland, division leader, 3-game lead over Kansas City. Colorado battling for a wild card in the National League. Houston at the Chicago White Sox. The only reason this is interesting, Keuchel will go tonight for the Houston Astros. And again, we understand, I kind of alluded to this last week, another conversation between the Houston Astros and the Detroit Tigers about Justin Verlander. That does not mean that I think anything is going to happen, but Houston is under some heat, both on social media, the local newspapers, a lot of MLB writers of a team that really is as good as anybody. I mean, if you had to rank the teams, probably the Dodgers, you know, probably Houston, Boston, Washington, those might be the top four. The only team that stood pat, the Houston Astros, and they're under heat. And, I mean, really, the reasoning for this type of thinking is this might be your year. It was the year to get aggressive, of course, to try to win a championship. These windows only open up for a short amount of time. I mean, Dave Dombrowski basically can be credited with a lot of Detroit Tiger runs for an 11-year period. None of them worked out in a World Series championship. On the other side of the coin, you kind of look at the things that, you know, we traded away. No real big names there, but it did deplete the depth in the farm system. Milwaukee at Minnesota tonight. Milwaukee, surprisingly, playing for both a division and a wild card. St. Louis at Kansas City tonight. Both those teams hanging around for a wild card situation. St. Louis kind of out of it at 8, but Kansas City, 3 out of the division behind Cleveland, and they're in a wild card spot right now. The other game tonight, to Seattle at Oakland. Seattle battling for a wild card. So, again, you look at these games, you wonder, really, L.A., the Dodgers tonight at Arizona. Dodgers division lead, Arizona battling for a wild card. So, a lot of things happening in baseball tonight. If you're really following the pennant races, you know, tonight of all the games scheduled, 15 games, you know, about 11 or 12 of those have some type of significant meeting. So that really is, you know, what the wild card has done. And obviously, ownership loves that. That's turnstiles. That's gate appeal. That's television ratings. That is a lot of different things when you go into baseball this time of the year. Because if this was strictly a divisional situation, look at some of these races. Houston, 15 games over Seattle. Washington, 14 games over Miami. The Cubs in a pretty good race, as I mentioned, half game over Milwaukee. Dodgers, 15.5 over Colorado. These divisional things, the majority of them would be wrapped up. Mel Zach coming to us from Fifth Third Field, downtown Toledo. My name is Mike Miller. This is Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
06.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. As always, this show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, coming to you from the showroom tonight. How about this? That summer clearance sales event continues. A lot of great deals. My favorite, how about this? 2017 Charger SXT, $168 a month. One sitting right here in the showroom. Come on up and see it. Or visit MonroeSuperstore.com. TAS Electronics update with Jim Cushlin coming up at the bottom of the hour. 5:35 tonight. We're going to go north about 45 miles into Ann Arbor. Be talking to John Borton, TheWolverine.com. See what's going on with Jim Harbaugh and the boys. But joining us now, downtown Toledo from Fifth Third Field, busiest man in broadcasting, Mr. Matt Belzak joins us. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I am doing great, Mike. Always a pleasure to hear your voice, sir.
No, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. Hey, before we talk about first, second, and third base and the diamond down at Fifth Third, I see the Walleye. Very, very busy. Got a few guys signed and a couple of good ones. A.J. Jenks will be back along with Shane Bursbach. A lot of scoring, a lot of numbers. That's good news for Walleye fans.
Yeah, that brings our total up to 3 returners, of course, with Alden Hirschfeld as well in the mix right now for the Walleye in the upcoming season. And those 3 are just very key. I mean, a lot of people know Alden Hirschfeld's probably going to play now in Toledo until he doesn't want to play. You would certainly think that with the native Toledo win. You know, so you know what you're going to get with him every night. And it's the same thing with A.J. Jenks and Shane Bursbach. You know, Shane just it goes along. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes in the games, Mike, and he just keeps picking up points. It's an amazing thing to watch him. And then when he and A.J. Jenks have been together, they have been dynamite over the years. And You know, you look over the last 3 years, those two combined have picked up 332 points. I mean, that's a lot of scoring that the Walleye are bringing back just in those two players. A.J. Jenks was a point-per-game player with us last year, did spend some time in the American League, and he's one of those guys that will end up getting looks each and every year, most likely, because of his size, his ability to play so strong at center and pick up points. So you figure you're going to probably lose him for a little bit each and every year, but when he is in the Toledo lineup, he's a horse.
Well, Dan Watson busy. Matt Melzack will really be busy a couple of months from now when the Walleye open their season. I'm going to switch gears on you here real quick. Lions in Indy Sunday, one of those games is you're probably going to have to pick up a lineup or roster with about 100 guys in there and 70 of them you won't recognize. But Lion prospects coming up. I had Mike O'Hara on the other day, and I said, I want to know one thing. Is Matthew Stafford driving a Ford? Because if Martha Ford's going to give him $125 million, I'd like to see the loyalty factor in there. And he says, indeed, he is. So any thoughts on the Lions before we talk baseball?
Well, I'm just looking forward to the season getting underway, Mike. I mean, it'll be fun to watch them a little bit this year. I know the loss of Taylor Decker is very key for him at left tackle. Hopefully they were able to address it well enough, and they need to get that contract done. For Mr. Stafford, too. At least that's the latest, anyhow.
Again, Matt Melzack joins us, Fifth Third Field downtown. He joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients you can trust, by the way, that is Vito's Pizza. Everybody knows my favorite, the Tony Paco's Thin. Probably have eaten too many of them. You talk to my cardiologist. Hey, Jamer Candelario, he's in Detroit with the Tigers, switch hitter. And I got thinking about this today a little bit in your baseball broadcast over the years. Many Detroit Tigers have been sent down on rehab assignments over the last 3 or 4 years, and I'm sure that's a pretty good boost on the gate when you get a high-profile guy down there. But Jamer Candelario was a guy that I was even thinking, you know what, if you love baseball and you follow the game and you look at Detroit's top prospect now, he's a guy that I think has some gate appeal as well.
He does, and hopefully we get a chance to see him. With him sitting on the bench right now for the Tigers, I saw he's not in the lineup again tonight, so back-to-back games. Of course, he joined the Hens last week when they were on the road at Louisville and also at Columbus. Started very well, 4 for his first 8, but then kind of struggled at the plate, especially over the weekend down in Columbus with just 1 hit over the last 4 games of that series and that road trip. So, he's kind of right there, Mike, pretty much ready to be an everyday guy in the big leagues. And, it'll be interesting to see once they do put him in. He has had a little bit of time with Chicago earlier this year, so the Cubs got a chance to look at him a little bit. Obviously, the Tigers scouted him a lot. He plays that third base. He can be a first base guy as well. So they really loaded up on infielders over the trade deadline.
Yeah, 5 of those, by the way, and again, we'll keep a close eye on that situation. Tigers in Pittsburgh tonight, and I wanted to take a look, and as you just mentioned, I said on my commentary before we opened the show, no Jamer Candelario in the Tiger lineup tonight. Hey, Jim Leland has said a couple of years ago, and you got to love Jim, he goes, you know, this 40-man roster thing, it's a pain in the neck. I got about 7-8 guys watching every night that I know I'm not going to get into the game because Detroit would be in a pennant race, or at least a wild card race, Matt Melzack, this time of the year. A little bit different right now when the rosters expand, of course, so that's coming up on September the 1st. But, I guess guys like Jacoby Jones, Buck Farmer, probably Blaine Hardy, Laborde, we talked a little bit about on the show, too. Collins and Holiday had a pretty good weekend as well. What do you expect come September 1st, about 3 weeks from now, on the names I mentioned and anybody else that I missed?
Well, I think first off, you'll definitely see that third catcher go up there. They usually always do that. And, yes, you're right. There are pretty much every one of those names, maybe save Tyler Collins, since he is not on the 40-man anymore. That you would probably see joining him. Laborde's an interesting case, Mike. He still has a little bit of that where, he's got an electric fastball, 96, 97. He can move it around. He can throw it for strikes. The problem is throwing it for strikes consistently. I mean, even in his appearance last night, which ended up being okay, he came in, it was a strike with it. Then the next pitch way outside, not close. There was a lot of 3-2 counts, things of that nature. He's still trying to hone and refine those pitches for him yet, so it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure they will take a look at him. Why not in September when you get that opportunity to throw him in there, especially with the Tigers going nowhere? This is a difference. Like you said, Mike, over the last 10 years, we haven't seen too much where you could see a lot of players going up and they take a look at, but this year, certainly different. And you might even see some guys out of Double A that could even get a look as well. So it's going to be a different look for the Tigers this September as they really start to take a look at some of the younger players.
Yeah, Matt, we had Lance Parrish on last week from Erie, and he was talking about Noel Lugo, and he is on the 40-man roster.
Yep.
So another guy that the Detroit Tigers will probably see come September. Anything that stands out about this game tonight against Syracuse, except for your call in the booth that I'll be checking on periodically just to make sure that you're minding your P's and Q's? Anything else about that this one tonight that you like, or is there a sidebar there?
Well, I think the little sidebar is the fact that you look at the way these two teams are playing right now. Neither one of them are, Faith and Syracuse coming in, they're 25 games under 500. They're not going anywhere for this season. Toledo kind of treading water there at about 8 games under. But the fact you got two of the hottest teams in the International League right now, they're both 7-3 in their last 10, playing some pretty good baseball right now. The Hens have had it working. I just finished up my interview with manager Mike Rojas, and he talked about that, the fact that, you know, we've had the good pitching all year, but we're finally getting some of that hitting. Guys like Brendan Ryan that took most of the year to get up over 200, they're finally doing that, and Toledo's getting those hits, and that's why they had a successful road trip and split the doubleheader yesterday.
Again, talking to Matt Melzak from Fifth Third Field. About a month ago, or 5 or 6 weeks ago, you got to help me here. I don't have the Mudhen roster in front of me. Efren is the first name. What's the last name? Herrera?
Efren Navarro, yes.
Navarro. I saw your television interview with him, Matt. I got to tell you, it was major league quality. How's that? I'm going to start acting as your agent. Job well done. Keep up the good work as always. Thanks for coming on the show. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, just that I'll have the check in the mail, Mike.
Very good. You know the address. Appreciate it. Matt Melzak, Fifth Third Field. Thanks, Matt.
Always a pleasure, Mike. Great talking with you.
Matt Melzak, voice of the Walleye, voice of the Mudhens, downtown Toledo, Fifth Third Field. All right, everybody, right around the corner is the TAS Electronics Update. My name is Mike Miller, coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. TAS, by the way, toys of summer, they rock. How about this? Hook it up to your smartphone, stream your favorite digital audio, you know, to your boat, your bike, your ATV. TAS can do it. TAS Electronic Update around the corner. Before I get to that, quick reminder, too, and Mark Monroe did a pretty good story on this, the 2017 Andrew Gulch Memorial Golf Tournament. It's a hockey-themed golf outing to benefit muscular dystrophy. For information, visit info@golfmemorial.com. It's at Bedford Hills, Walleye, Storm, Gold Digger Players there, dinner, silent auction, raffles, corporate donations, all sorts of stuff going on. That is Saturday, August the 19th. TAS Electronics Update after this.
More of the best in local sports talk. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody. Glad to have you on board. Another edition of Drive Time brought to you by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, coming to you from the showroom at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore, where the clearance event continues. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Talked a little baseball. Matt Melzak joined us from downtown Toledo, Fifth Third Field. Mudhens home tonight. Tigers going to expand to that 40-man roster before too long. Talk some prospects. Even touched on a little Lions. The Walleye signed a couple of players. So we kind of went around the gamut with Matt Melzak today. We probably could go around the gamut with Mr. John Borton as well, but we'll stick to his expertise. That's the University of Michigan. Of course, he writes for TheWolverine.com. I was on the website today. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Very good. Hey, I read something that you did and some other folks did, John and Don Brown, the defensive coordinator for the University of Michigan, one starter returning. This guy's not in a panic mode at all, is he?
No, he's really not, because, it's misleading. People every year will judge teams by, oh, they lost this many starters, they have this many back. But it's it doesn't tell the whole story. And I think that's particularly so in this case. Don Brown will flat out challenge you. You say, yeah, you lost all but one starter. And he'll say, right. And Rashawn Gary wasn't a starter. And Mo Hurst, who's one of the most effective middle rushers of a defensive tackle in the country, wasn't a starter. These guys rotated in. They're there. There's a whole bunch of very talented players that may not have been there for the opening snap last year, but played quite a bit. And so I think you're not going to be right back to Chris Wormley and that whole crew that, 10 of them were starters. But you are not going to have this precipitous drop-off where they can't play any defense.
You know what? Just because he's local, you gave me another question here. Any reports out of Baltimore from the Toledo and Chris Wormley? I mean, listen, you're running around with folks that are talking football 24/7 this time of the year. Have you heard anything, John?
I've really been fairly quiet on that front, but I know what they love about him when they drafted him is his makeup, his temperament, his attitude, and his skills. And so, you know, I really expect to hear some good things out of Chris Wormley as we go along. You know, he just was, in the time that he was here, one of the most impressive kids I've run across because he had it totally together. He invested time in younger players. He worked with kids. Rashawn Gary to this day thanks Chris Wormley for all that he invested into him, and that's going to pay off this year. But I anticipate hearing a lot of good things about Chris Wormley.
You're talking to our good friend John Borton, one of our A-listers on this show. TheWolverine.com is the website. I wouldn't expect we're going to see anybody but Wilton Spate starting in behind center for the Michigan Wolverines. They open up September the 2nd down in Dallas against Florida. But John O'Korn and Brandon Peters, a couple of guys that hardly skilled, talented guys. Listen, we're not trying to make a quarterback controversy here, but there's been a lot written about it, a lot of people talking about it. I understand that's this time of the year, that's what happens. What's your thumbnail sketch in this situation?
Well, I think Wilton Spate's going to be the guy. I just can't get away from the fact that here's a guy that has been on the road, has played at Michigan State, has played at Ohio State, at Iowa, some of the toughest places to play. And, some Michigan fans will point out the fact that he didn't have great success towards the end of the year. Well, he didn't get a lot of help in some ways, and he was injured at Iowa. And I don't think still himself at Ohio State. He had off-season shoulder surgery on that shoulder that got nicked up at Iowa. I think that Spate is not a perfect quarterback by any means and is still working on things, some things very hard. But he's the guy that's been through it. Who do you want to trot out against Florida in Arlington? A guy that has faced down those teams that I mentioned and more, or somebody that really hasn't been through it yet? And because I think people are wanting Brandon Peters and to speed up that process because they see how talented he is, and he is. There's no question about it. But he's still learning to lead. He's still learning to get louder and really take command, and he hasn't been in that fire yet. This will be a good year, as far as I'm concerned, to see him brought up to speed. I like to tell people, remember, Tom Brady didn't start at Michigan until his fourth year in the uniform, so you can still have a pretty darn good career if you don't start right away.
Again, talking to John Borton, the Wolverine, that is a great comparison and kind of puts things in perspective indeed. John Borton joins us, TheWolverine.com. John joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients you can trust. Been a little quiet up there, John, with Mr. Harbaugh. Usually we have some type of news-making material coming out about him doing something that's off the grid a little bit, but that hasn't been the case this August or late in July either.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's once football season rolls around, once camp rolls around, he's pretty well locked in on just football. Now, people are still talking about those that he's extending invitations to for honorary captains. He's got an invitation out, and it was accepted by Charles Woodson, but also Barack Obama is another one that he's invited in. We hasn't heard back anything yet, but as far as Jim Harbaugh is concerned, he is still locked in on football at this point. He talked about having football dreams leading up to camp, and that's when he knows the football is rolling around again. He's going to have a session with the media later in the week. We're actually going to talk to some players tonight. So, you know, there'll be consistent news coming out about Michigan football, but it's going to be about Michigan football. He's unless he stops and pulls somebody out of a burning car on the way home.
Very well put. Hey, Christopher Hinton, 5-star. Boy, another one. The recruiting continues with the bullet pointed in the right direction for Michigan. That was announced today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Chris Hinton, dad played in the NFL. He's got all the good bloodlines. He's extremely, extremely talented. And this is a class where Michigan has to be pretty picky because it's going to end up being, you know, 14 to 16 people in the class because they are so bottom loaded from the last 2 years. They filled up on very large classes. So, you know, you want the Hintons, all that you can get and some of these other elite kids that they're getting. They can afford to be patient and picky, but when somebody like that steps up, you say yes.
Again, talking to John Morton, TheWolverine.com. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Ohio State Buckeyes. We do include the Michigan Wolverines on the Cumulus Cluster. So we're about 10 miles from the border from where I'm at right now. So, listen, we're playing both sides of the ball on this. Don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I look at the schedule. You mentioned Florida, John. That's a tough start down in Dallas. And I guess the other games that, you know, stand out at Wisconsin, at Penn State, and, of course, home against the Ohio State Buckeyes. And, again, I get it. First week here, week and a half into August, you don't want to go over things. But anybody that's a football fan, anybody that is an Ohio State fan, a Penn State fan, a Michigan fan, they sit there and they gawk at the schedule and see what the big ones are. And lo and behold, right off the bat, it is Florida. Top 20 team, 3:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, September the 2nd.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Great test for Michigan. They brought in the quarterback from Notre Dame, grad transfer, Malik Zaire, and he's down there. I saw him in an article saying they have the chance to be one of the best offenses in the country. Well, that would be a big leap from where they were last year, and it would be a huge leap from where they were the last time Michigan saw them and pretty well handled them. But Florida, obviously, SEC team, they are talented. And for Michigan and a rebuilt defense and a lot of young players, it will be a great test. But the beauty of that is, Mike, when they win or lose that game, it sets up as a first half of the season where this is a group that can really grow. If they win that game, they're going to have a lot of confidence and momentum going into the rest of that first half of the schedule. But these other three games that you mentioned, at Penn State, at Wisconsin, Ohio State, at home. Those three are in the back half of the schedule, and by then the expectation is, okay, this is a team that will have grown up a lot. And that's why, you know, I like the schedule from that respect. You know, you get that big test early, okay, where are we? And then let's work on it, let's get better. And then you have your real biggest test in the back half of the slate.
Hypothetically, well, Michigan football fans, now listen, I'm making a comparison here because I'm telling you this listening audience we have right now is probably split right down the middle, maybe swayed a little bit on the Ohio State side, I would say 55-45 maximum. If Ohio State would beat Michigan again, Urban Meyer's got 6 losses in 5 years, Jim Harbaugh 6 losses in 2 years. What happens if Ohio State beats Michigan again? Will Jim Harbaugh ever have his feet held to the fire by the Michigan fans?
Oh, I think there'll be some grumbling, but there won't be anything close to, oh, Jim Harbaugh is not going to get it done here. This is, I mean, you might have a little of that, but I think that would be overwhelmed by the people who say, look, here's a guy who lost 19 to the pros off of last year's team, who had Ohio State on the ropes. You know, a couple of breaks, a couple of things happen, and they didn't win that one, but it could just as easily be 1-1. And then there's the fact that this is not expected to be a championship year for Michigan unless you're inside Schembechler Hall and you're a true believer in that way. Ohio State's been pretty darn good. There's no question about that. And Jim Harbaugh knows better than anybody else Ohio State is the team he has to beat if he's going to reach any of the goals that Michigan as a program wants. The Big Ten championship, the playoffs, all of that. Ohio State directly in the way.
You know what? And I mean, we know what's happened down in Columbus, and I'm not saying there's two standards here. This is not the picture that I'm trying to paint. But ask John Cooper and Earl Bruce about not beating Michigan. And those guys had some pretty compelling wins and good seasons over the years. That just talks about the rivalry. You mentioned that game. I was channel surfing John the other night. Might have been last night. And caught the fourth quarter in the overtime on the Big Ten Network last night of the Michigan-Ohio State game. What a great game that was. And were there ever some athletes on the field? And were there ever guys making plays?
Yeah, I'm told it was the most watched game in college football last year, at least in the regular season. And there's no doubt about it. What is great theater, great drama, great intensity. And you kind of hope that that's the way it's going to be for the next decade or so with these two guys going head-to-head, Harbaugh and Urban Meyer, and with two programs that are both recruiting at a very high level. There's no doubt about it. There should be some drama every year, but it is on Michigan to hold up its end of the bargain. I mean, Ohio State 2-0 in that game. Michigan really wasn't ready for the first matchup there. They were kind of beat up, and they just weren't at Ohio State's talent level. Last year, I think they were, but that home field, they swung the advantage, and Michigan couldn't get it done there. Now it's young team, fine. Ohio State was young last year, and that's the way Michigan's going to look at it. There's no excuse, no reason to not come up and meet the challenge.
Even after 38 years of broadcasting, I remember last year as John Borton joins us here, thewolverine.com and the Vito's Pizza phone line. I was traveling in the Canadian Hockey League last year that day when Ohio State played Michigan. And listen, even after 38 years, you know your place. The coach has the call of what's on the satellite television. There was probably about 8 feet of snow up in northern Ontario where we were at, and our coach was Rocky Thompson, who, by the way, has been hired by the Las Vegas Golden Knights to coach their American Hockey League team after a Memorial Cup championship last year in Windsor. And I said, Rock, I haven't asked you in the 2 years you've been here, but I do have a request on Saturday in the rural areas of northern Ontario that we will be traveling. I'd like to have the TV Saturday at around noon. I think that was a noon game, and got a request. And it turned out that we had three or four kids from Michigan on that team. In fact, Luke Boca, his brother, plays did play for the University of Michigan, by the way, as well. So it was a great game, no doubt about it. Hey, I read in the Columbus Dispatch today, does Michigan, I'm not saying this is a good thing or a bad thing, but they moved the Buckeyes into a Hyatt Regency in Grandview off of campus for training camp. Does Michigan, listen, I know you went to Rome, so they're used to not sleeping in their own campus bed. Do they ever go off campus during training camp in Ann Arbor?
Oh yeah, they've been off campus, and they've been at a hotel before. And you know, you can argue the merits of that. More focus, more togetherness with roommates or whatever. But I know Jim Harbaugh likes people right in those dorms, and nice and hot and uncomfortable at times. And you know, they'll mix the schedule up in terms of when practice is going to be. You got to be ready for anything. That's something that can be debated, and they've done it both ways at Michigan.
John, before I let you go, what are you going to be writing on in thewolverine.com? How do you get it, number one? Number two, anything I missed in our conversation here you want to touch on before I let you go?
Sure. You get the Wolverine by calling a toll-free number, 800 334-217-7751. You can check us out any day on thewolverine.com, because we're posting, stuff. We'll have stuff from the, from interviews tonight, video and stories from, several players, including Rashawn Gary and some others. And as far as what we've got planned, it's very thorough camp coverage. We gave some people a pretty good idea of the lay of the land. Even though, practices are closed, we have, our sources and, give a little hint of what's taking place behind the walls and, also, you know, just getting ready, giving you the complete picture leading up to, Michigan, Florida, 3:30 p.m. down in Arlington on September 2nd.
Right around the corner, John. Thanks for coming on. Great hearing your voice. Appreciate it. I know it's a busy time of the year for you, so thanks for coming on.
Always enjoy joining you, Mike. Thank you.
John Borton, thewolverine.com from Ann Arbor, where the University of Michigan gearing up again for that game on the 2nd, I think Memorial Day. I don't have a calendar in front of me. Jim probably does. But the 2nd is a Saturday in Dallas against Florida. I'm guessing Monday, that would be the 4th, would be a Labor Day weekend, I think. I'm going to try to clarify that as I'm scanning my phone. Quick timeout, everybody. My name is Mike Miller. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Summer clearance sale event continues. Back to close it out after this.